Filthy Henry case files, The Chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and Siobhan.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the shop. Not a panic buyer was stirring. The miserable lot," Drew the Druid sang as he strolled around his empty store on Christmas Eve. It was like this every year. For whatever reason, people seemed to not do last-minute gift buying in a shop which predominantly catered to a religious belief system that was anathema to the one which Christmas had been spawned from. Which, Drew always felt, was a little unfair to the independent businessman that had ventured into the sphere of industry not specifically targeting the Yuletide market. Not that Drew the Druid was averse to slapping a few fairy lights and strings of tinsel around the displays to lure in festive buyers. The problem was, nobody wanted pagan-related presents for their non-pagan-based holiday. Everything was designed to work against the small-time entrepreneur. One of the lessons they did not tell you about in business school. Drew looked around at the empty store and the twinkling lights and aisles lacking shoppers inside.
"I guess I might as well shut up for the night," he said,
checking the time on his watch and strolling over to the front door. Sliding the bolts into place, the Druid gently touched several quartz stones in a pattern known only to himself and activated the magical alarm system. Not having any innate magical abilities himself, Drew was not able to protect his premises using spells and incantations. But being a druid meant he was able to tangentially touch the fairy world. Favours could be requested, payments issued, and alarm systems that were basically unbreakable by mortal man installed in shops which sold trinkets of the magical persuasion. A little hidden bell chimed from somewhere in the store, letting Drew know that the alarm was now active. He turned around and walked briskly across the floor, entering the back rooms by passing beneath the curtain with a beautiful Celtic design on it, into his druidic hut of solitude, which was a title that, despite all the gravitas he could put behind it, no woman was ever impressed by. Just inside the doorway, a hook bore a hanger with normal people clothes and a duffel bag. Drew quickly changed out of his druidic robes, tossing them into a laundry basket in the corner of the room, and pulled on the average person attire quickly. With his boots laced up and his coat buttoned up, Drew took the duffel bag off the hook and left the shop through a back door. Closing the door behind himself, Drew looked around the alley behind the Druid stone and made sure that nobody was paying him any more attention than they usually did. Most of the time when the Druid walked around Dublin City, there were street youths regularly shouting after him questions that made absolutely no sense. Such as,
"Hey mister, where's your Balrog?"
And,
"Are you gonna let me pass or not?"
These obvious jokes, inspired by some fantasy movie trilogy, were aimed at Drew the Druid, on account of his druidic robes, and a lack of education in the Irish school system these days. Mistaking a druid for a wizard was just offending two types of people in one fell swoop. Nobody wanted to be thought of as a wizard, using a colour as a surname like some pop star of the mystic arts. Drew strolled down Crane Lane, keeping his bag held firmly. As he stepped out onto Dame Street, weaving between the crowds of revellers and traffic alike, the Druid smiled at the freshly fallen snow that covered the pavement. It was still snowing, heavily in fact, and coating everyone and everything in a picturesque whiteness that seasonal greetings cards loved to display. Drew ducked up George's Street and crossed over to Exchequer Street and stopped outside a boarded-up building. He looked around, making sure nobody was paying him any undue attention, and stamped his feet several times to get some feeling back in his toes. The powdery snow crunched beneath his feet as Drew reached into the bag and pulled out a stick of chalk and a crowbar. Checking around once more, the Druid stepped towards a panel on the building and drew a large X on it with the chalk. Using the crowbar, he pried the same board away from the rest of the frame and stepped through to the construction site on the other side. The Central Hotel had been a favourite watering hole for Drew growing up, owing largely to the stylish library bar on the second floor of the building. A place that looked like the Diogenes Club had sprung to life from the pages of a Sherlock Holmes story. Victorian character oozed from the very wooden panels that adorned the walls. Walking over the construction site, work that had been going on for years with no real progress to show for it, Drew made his way to the stairs and ascended to the second floor. Flicking a switch on the wall brought up some overhead lights, revealing the library still there, covered in white sheets. A fine powdery layer of dust coated the sheets, like interior snow to match the exterior whiteness. Drew scanned the room, spying the fireplace and bar counter that made up the distinguishing setup of the bar, and strolled to the centre of it. He placed the duffel bag down on a dust-covered table and opened it up, revealing a costume of Dickensian design. Pulling out his stovepipe hat, brass goggles and other pieces of the outfit, the druid laid them all out and began to undress. With the speed given to everyone who has ever changed clothes in a wintry chill, Drew the druid put on the costume quickly. Above the fireplace was a large mirror, older than Drew had been when he first darkened the library's doors decades previously. He took several steps back and managed to get most of his body in the reflection of the mirror. He adjusted the stovepipe hat on his head. Drew cut a dashing steampunk-style look with the costume. Tiny Tim himself would have easily mistaken the druid as a character from Dickens' Christmas classic.
"Why didn't you just get changed at home?" a voice said from the hallway. "And more importantly, why didn't you change the Christmas venue? I don't need to get pinched on Christmas Eve. Try explaining that one to the wife. Sorry, love. I won't be home. I've been locked up."
Drew turned and smiled, as one by one his friends walked in, each of them already dressed in a similar steampunk Victorian attire. For the solo entrepreneur, it was somewhat hard to arrange for work-sponsored Christmas drinks, owing largely to the fact that you worked on your own. Working in an area that most other people deemed weird compounded the problem of finding like-minded individuals with which one could have a festive beverage or two. There was always the option of calling on Filthy Henry or Shelley, but the pair of them only tended to engage with Drew the Druid when things were needed from his store. Otherwise, theirs was a very odd relationship. Which was saying something, considering they regularly dealt with magical, mysterious and villainous fairies. So Drew had ventured beyond his immediate social circle and found work associates who touched on the mystic side of small industry. There was Gary, the one who spoke, who worked as a ghost whisperer. Drew had never seen the man actually perform any spectral shepherding in all the years he had known him. But Gary made his crust by going into old homes or churches, muttering away in the corner, and then getting paid to never speak of such things again. He was also the only one of their little group who had somehow convinced another human that marriage was a promising idea, so long as he wasn't expected to get a normal job. Following behind him was Alex the Alchemist, the oldest member of their collective. He always wore his beard in a very fashionable pointed style, so that it looked like a hairy icebreaker hanging from his chin. A pair of Coke bottle-style glasses always adorned his face. His eyesight, long since diminished from trying to turn brass into gold in dark rooms. Not that the dark aided his work in any way, but when you failed to transmute cheap alloy into precious metals regularly, then such luxuries as electricity became selective choices, if you also needed to eat. Chris, Chili Carroll, stepped into the room and looked around, nodding with something of a sage bob to his head. A folklorist by trade, Chili was possibly the most sensible of the male group members, aside from his unusual nickname, acquired on account of his habit of answering the front door to guests and breathing at them. If Chili saw his breath mist in the cold air, he would spend the entire time complaining about how cold the world was. "I kind of like how we meet up here, even though the place has been practically shut down for years," a female voice said from out in the hall.
Hey Siobhan," Drew greeted her as she stepped into view.
In layman's terms, Siobhan would have been considered the most normal member of their little posse. She worked as a visual effects artist for a Dublin-based games company and had shown up at their first ever meeting 6 years previously. With enough enthusiasm to convince everyone else, she deserved a place amongst their ranks.
"The chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan," Drew the Druid said, beaming with pride and spreading his arms wide before the assembled Victorian-dressed folk.
We really need to rethink that name," Chilly said,
buttoning up his large overcoat so that his neck was barely visible behind his oversized checkered scarf.
"Some other time,"
Gary said, leaning back and looking down the stairs.
"I think we have a visitor."
Drew quickly threw his druid robe into the duffel bag and hid it under one of the dust sheets covering a table. With his day clothes safely hidden, he ran over to the doorway to the bar and saw a security guard reach the top of the stairs.
"Again with you weirdos,"
the man said, pointing at the group with his flashlight.
"I thought I told you lot last year to clear off and not come back. There's nothing here for you."
Before the security guard could finish his rant, Drew had covered the distance between them, reaching into one of his huge Victorian pockets and pulling out some ground-up mushrooms. While his magical abilities may have been lacking on account of the fact he was entirely human, Drew was schooled in the ancient and much more mortal-friendly arts of druidism. He knew how to use nature in ways that, to the uneducated individual, would seem like magic itself. Bringing up his hand full of mushroom powder, Drew opened his fingers and blew with all his might. A misty grey cloud drifted off his hand and directly into the face of the security guard. The man blinked several times, coughed twice, then rolled his head on his neck 3 times before collapsing backwards in a heap on the floor. Gary raised an eyebrow.
"I say, that was impressive."
Just a little bit of fairy dust," Drew the Druid lied casually, giving the chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan a cheeky wink. "Now let's go, while the going's good."
Moving through the snow-covered streets of Dublin City, like a family favourite seasonal tale come to life, the chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan felt like they could do anything and be anyone. There was something about this time of year, when the very air hummed with joy and goodwill, being spread far and wide, that was infectious. It made any good deed feel like it was empowered tenfold, that you could almost bottle the sensation and drink it later. Filthy Henry often commented that Christmas was the last truly magical time of the year for mortals, when you could almost feel happiness on the air itself. It was rare for the fairy detective and the druid to agree on anything, but Drew did always think that Filthy Henry might have a point. It was Drew the Druid's favourite time of year, something that would have been frowned upon in the country that was credited with inventing Halloween. Walking along with his stovepipe hat at the correct angle, the druid took a deep breath of the cold air and felt young again.
"I knew I shouldn't have left the house earlier," Chilly said. "I could see my breath before I opened the door."
"Well, that's because you never put the heat on in your house," Alex pointed out. "A group of intelligent and blind rodents, numbering no more than the second prime number, could see that. You need to put the heat on, love."
"I put the heat on when it doesn't mean some fat cat can fly first class at the drop of a hat," Chilly said. "Besides, one is a prime number, so I'm assuming you mean 3 blind mice and not 2.
Drew groaned and turned on the spot, causing a little flurry of snow to drift around him as he spun so fast.
"We're not going to have the bloody prime number debate again," he snapped at them. "We do it every year, and it really ruins the night. We're here to sing, look absolutely fabulous, and get some money for charity."
"Here, we're not going to hit Grafton Street again this year, are we?" Siobhan asked.
Grafton Street, one of the city's popular shopping areas, had long been home to many a talented busker over the years. During December, the street was basically an open-air venue, with everyone seeking to make a few euro on the side and singing their hearts out as shoppers strolled past. That was, until some overpaid celebrities had taken it upon themselves to put an impromptu performance on Christmas Eve 4 years before. A performance that had been so impromptu that the news crews, public relations companies, and security had barely had any time to set up 4 hours before the arrival of the talented individuals. Since then, the once-in-a-lifetime event had happened like clockwork each year, detracting from the local talent on Grafton Street, as the public paid attention to those with egos already overinflated.
"No," Drew said, shaking his head. "I figured we'd try a different spot this year. One that would look just perfectly picturesque on a night like tonight with us dressed as we are."
They briskly walked down Exchequer Street, people stopping to take photos of them on their phone as they went by and came out onto Grafton Street. It was not as snow-covered in snow as the other streets, owing largely to the number of people out getting last-minute presents from the late-night shopping on offer. Towards the top of the street, Drew could just about make out the impromptu area being set up for the singing tonight. He groaned internally, knowing that this was a dreadful situation to be in. On one hand, Drew the Druid wanted nothing more than to wish the celebrity singers would fail tonight. But the other hand knew that would mean less money for charity. A terrible rock smashing against a mean hard place. But Drew had picked out their singing spot months ago and knew nobody would even have considered it. He waved at the collective singers behind him and headed in the direction of Ann Street. They weaved through the crowd, once again walking on the powdery goodness of seasonal snow, and came out onto Dawson Street, where Drew turned around to look at his choir and spread his arms out wide.
"Ta-da!"
he sang to the others, impressed with himself. The rest of the choir stared at him and frowned.
"Dawson Street?"
Gary asked.
"I'm telling you it's too cold to be..."
Chilly started.
"Would you just shut up?" Alex cut him off. "Drew,"
Siobhan said in her gentle way of speaking.
"Are we just going to sing here then?"
The Druid looked at them, confused, before realising he had pulled a move favoured by the fairy detective and not actually revealed his grand plan to the audience.
Sorry, I was suggesting that we sing outside St. Anne's Church, on the steps," Drew said, lowering his arms. "Dressed as we are, singing there with people coming out of the bars and restaurants, we'll get more attention than if we compete on Grafton Street."
The chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan all started nodding in enthusiastic agreement.
"By Jove, that's a spiffing idea,"
Gary said, trying to imitate a perfect Victorian London accent, but failing miserably.
"Don't talk like that again," Alex said, "or Drew here will use magic on you."
Drew decided not to answer that particular threat. The group had long regarded him as a sort of alpha in the collective of society's betas. His shop did good business. He generally had no issues paying his bills, and on a number of occasions had worked with the infamous Filthy Henry to solve magical cases. These facts alone put him on a pedestal with Gary, Alex and Chilly. One that, deep down, Drew the Druid knew he did not deserve to be on. Sure, he had some tricks up his robe sleeves, but none of that was actual magic. Not the kind that the fairy detective could achieve. The only one who didn't seem to view Drew as a sort of minor celebrity was Siobhan. In fact, Drew and the other gentlemen had never really understood why Siobhan hung out with them so much. She had other friends, and was much better in social situations than the four of them combined, yet kept in contact for whatever reason. It was a Christmas miracle of sorts, one that lasted the entire year. Shaking himself out of these thoughts, Drew led the gang across the street and instructed them to take their places on the steps of the old Gothic-style church. With the tufts of snow built up in the doorway, the old lanterns burning brightly in the dark, and the costumes, Drew knew that they looked the business. With any luck, this was going to be the picture that appeared on the front of news websites from now on, to show Dublin's true spirit at Christmas. The hairs on the back of Drew's neck stood up. Nerves, no doubt. He ignored them and looked around, spying Peter McGovern walking down the street towards them. Peter was the official organiser of the Black Santa Appeal, something that had been running in Dublin for decades. A charity that collected for the truly down on their luck. He had in his hand the collection buckets, complete with official paperwork attached, so the chorus could be presented to the world as a legitimate character choir, and not just some young lads trying to raise taxi fare home.
"Ah, you do look the part, I have to say," Peter said, as he handed the collection bucket to Drew.
"All part of the greatest show," Drew said,
taking the bucket from Peter and placing it down on the second step, just in front of Siobhan. If anyone had to run after a would-be bucket thief, the youngest member of the group was the best option.
Well, how goes the other crowd? Drew asked,
not wanting to sully his show by speaking their name. Peter made a face that looked like he had just chewed on an entire lemon and shook his head.
Oh, they haven't practiced at all, he said. You can tell they just showed up and figured it would all work perfectly. Egotistical chancers. Anyway, I have to drop off a few more buckets, but I'll swing back to watch you.
With that, Peter continued walking down the street towards Stephen's Green. Drew turned back to the group, rubbing his hands together, then gestured towards them.
Let's start with the classics, he said. Holy night. 1, 2, 3.
The druid closed his eyes and waited for the angelic sounds that always came from the chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan. An audible embodiment of Christmas magic in the city. Drew began to sway his hands like a conductor and waited for the wonderful singing to begin. What Drew was not ready to hear, however, was the sound of four throats making sounds you would only expect to hear in a monkey exhibit at a zoo during feeding time. Everyone in the group looked around confused, while reaching up and touching their throats.
"Yous are terrible!"
some drunken suit-wearing morons shouted from across the road. Drew the Druid ignored them and waved his hands in the air.
Just a warm-up problem, he said to encourage the group. We don't actually sing in falling snow, so the old pipes need to warm up.
I brought some tea and coffee, Siobhan said, reaching into her oversized carpet bag that would not have looked out of place with a magical nanny who loved giving medicine with a spoonful of sugar. She pulled out four flasks and some cups, passing them around the group. As the choir all sipped at their warm beverages, Drew paced back and forth on the snowy pavement and thought about what might be going on. One of the problems with being tangentially involved in the fairy world was that you had a habit of jumping to magical conclusions. Then again, as Filthy Henry often said, there was no such thing as a coincidence. One person hitting a bum note was possible, but everyone, all at the same time, was highly unlikely. Then there was something else, something that Peter had said when he dropped off the collection bucket.
The celebrity singers aren't able to sing either, Drew muttered to himself.
Short of turning on a brilliantly large and bright light bulb, there was a surefire indication that something was going on. But was it magical? That was the question. The last thing Drew the Druid wanted was to ruin his Christmas Eve by bringing in the fairy detective to figure out what was actually going on in the city. Shelley, while a much nicer magical detective to deal with, was also not an option he wanted to call upon, all because of a simple case of pride. The chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan looked at Drew the Druid like he was some sort of rock star. Of them all, the Druid was the only one who had ever really seen and engaged with a fairy. His involvement in the magical world, no matter how small that involvement might be, was something the others could only dream of. Of the five of them, Drew was the only person who could actually do anything that had a hint of real magic to it. The others, with the exception of Siobhan, were dreamers who had never truly grown up. He stopped pacing a few feet away from the steps of the church and looked back at the choir. Nobody was looking in his direction. Drew ducked down the side street and waved at an approaching young couple.
A season's greetings, he said.
I'm sorry, the woman on the left said. No change.
Yeah, her girlfriend agreed, nodding. Unless you have a card machine.
Drew smiled and reached into his pocket, ready to pull out the card machine from his shop, which he had brought along for just a scenario. But then the druid remembered why he'd approached the couple and left the machine where it was.
No, he said, shaking his head. I was just wondering if you could do me a quick favour. I have a little choir around the corner, and I was wondering if one of you could sing a Christmas song for me.
The two women frowned, looked at each other, then continued to frown at Drew.
Why?
They both asked in perfect unison. Drew let his mental wheels spin faster than they ever had before and came up with an idea.
"Oh, we do this every year. If you sing it loudly enough, my choir picks it up. It's like asking a DJ for a song at a wedding."
"Well, I can't sing," the first woman said, before adding with a playful poke at her partner, "But you can, honey." The other young woman rolled her eyes. "Fine," she said, exasperated. The opening words to Silent Night came out of her mouth. Drew the Druid knew you usually refer to the music by saying opening bars, but there was nothing musical about the sound coming from the young lady's mouth. She stopped after a few words, coughed, then tried again. The words, once more, were correct, but the sound was like nails on a chalkboard. "Hmm," she said, patting her chest and looking embarrassed. "Sorry, I must have a cold coming on."
"No worry at all," Drew said, turning around and walking back towards Dawson Street. "Merry Christmas to you both."
The woman's inability to sing, a skill her girlfriend suggested she had, was enough confirmation for Drew. Something was going on in the city, and for whatever reason, it was impacting those with a musical gift for song. He walked back down to the steps of St. Anne's and smiled at the choir.
"Is everybody ready to try again?" he asked, putting on a cheerful tone.
The others nodded their heads enthusiastically, putting down their cups and flasks on the snowy steps. Drew stood in front of them once again, raised his right hand up in conductor style, and counted them in. With a gentle flourish of his left hand, he gestured for Siobhan to start them off. She opened her mouth, sang a solitary note, then made a sound like a crow cawing, as if it had a broken throat. Drew gritted his teeth and put on a happy face. Something was definitely up, and sore throats was not the answer to the question of what that something could be. Siobhan had managed to get a single note out before her voice took an odd turn. Yet nobody was having trouble speaking. The woman around the corner had similarly been surprised that her ability to sing was suddenly gone. Using the coincidence theory, that meant there was an obvious connection, and given they were in Dublin, that pointed directly at magic. There was a fairy or spirit interfering with mortals, preventing them from singing. Drew considered his options, and really wanted to avoid calling on Filthy Henry. It would put a bad taste in his mouth for the rest of the holiday season. Plus, the Druid still had not forgiven the fairy detective for the stunt he had pulled on Christmas Eve in Newgrange a few years previously. Not only had Drew missed the caroling, but his nose had lit up like a mystical reindeer. Looking over the choir, Drew stared at Gary and smiled as an idea popped into his head. One thing mortals never learned about, owing to the fact that most of the human population had no idea the fairy folk and magic were really real, was that ghosts and spirits were near enough the same thing. Even at that, many ghosts were not actually human souls that had not moved on because of trauma in their life, but spirits from the fairy world that were pottering about with nothing better to do than mess with mortals. There were some occasions when a ghost was actually the soul of a person that had not crossed over, but usually that happened because the plot of a poorly written story needed a narrative device. But a lot of what Gary did as a ghost whisperer could be applied to spirits as well. The fastest way to get everyone singing again was to first figure out what the proverbial F they were actually dealing with.
"Gary," Drew said, stepping closer to the group so that festive revelers could easily walk by on the snowy street. "Have you got your bone rattle?"
It was like Drew was a superhero and had picked a random child from the crowd to help defeat the rampaging monsters in the city.
"You want my help with something magical?" Gary asked.
The Druid nodded his head.
"I do indeed," he said. I'd like for you to use your rattle to get a rhythm going. It'll help us dispel any bad magic that the chill air might be carrying."
Not one word of what Drew the Druid had said was in any way factually correct. But working with Filthy Henry for so many years meant you learned a trick or two. One such trick was that people were more willing to help if you told them extraordinarily little overall. Something about human nature having a deep-rooted desire to be friendly towards other people. This didn't work on everyone, mind you. But those whose societies tended to treat people a little less pleasantly. The feeling of being included in something, when usually exclusion was the main course of every day, brought out the best in people. Like the boy, pulling the sword from the stone, Gary slowly withdrew his rattle from the pocket of his grey coat and held it aloft in the air. It was the most disgusting rattle Drew had ever laid eyes on. A small human skull filled with the teeth of various animals. The skull itself was a simple plastic creation that Gary had bought, from the druid stone no less, but the teeth were all ones he had found from dead animals in the forest. It was based on a design he had read in an old book, about how best to create a sound that irritated ghosts, to the point that they would leave a location rather than hear the rattle of dead teeth. Whether it would actually work on a ghost, Drew didn't know, but he was acutely aware that the sound made by the rattle was like nails on a chalkboard to spirits.
"Give it a whirl there, old boy," the druid said.
Gary the Ghost Whisperer grinned maniacally and started to rattle away, as if he were in a band. The rest of the choir all nodded their heads in time to the beat, like some steampunk jazz band, waiting to break out into a fun flute solo. Drew, on the other hand, slowly looked around the immediate area, his eyes peeled for anything that his brain would try and ignore. That was part of the problem with being a druid, the complete lack of any real magical insights. Shelley and Filthy Henry were able to see the magical spectrum of the world with ease, but the rest of humanity had to deal with the Darwinian evolutionary step that meant their brains ignored magic, and in some cases, created false memories to explain away things that did not make sense. Drew's knowledge of this meant he had trained for years to spot when something looked out of place, or rather tell when something looked too appropriate, a sign that the mind was playing tricks and hiding the magic from sight. As Gary continued to rattle, the druid spotted something off to the right-hand side of the church, a shimmering in the bushes of the building next door, one that had nothing to do with twinkling lights or falling snow.
"Oh, very good," Drew said, gesturing towards the choir. "You keep doing that. I'll be back in a moment."
"Doing what?"
Chilly asked as the druid ran towards the bush.
"Exactly," Druid called back, running along the snowy path.
He stopped at the bush, his eyes trying their absolute best not to look at the flora feature.
"Right," the druid said, putting on a tone that he hoped would sound serious. "I don't know what you are, and I don't even know who you are. But if you don't want to deal with Filthy Henry, I'd suggest you knock it off right now."
It was hard to describe what happened next, but Drew swore that the voice which replied seemed to come on the very air itself, rather than from a creature. As if the snow that swirled all around him was somehow made up of an intangible being.
"The half-breed," the voice hissed. "We all know about that one. A foot in both worlds, belonging in neither. We also know that you are not he."
"I never said I was," Drew replied, annoyed that the ruse had been rumbled so quickly. "But I do have his phone number."
"We are ancient," the voice said,
the snow swirling in a somewhat menacing manner.
"What harm could a half-breed do to us? You'd be best forgetting about us, mortal, lest we make you forget much more than how to sing."
A gust of wind blew out of the bush, sending a flurry of snow along the street and knocking the hats off every member of the chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan. Drew chased after his own stovepipe, catching it and Alex's hat. As he pulled his hat back on, handing the other to Alex, Drew looked down Ann Street and spotted a trench coat that looked oddly familiar. One worn by Ireland's first and foremost fairy detective.
You lot stay here. Maybe hum the tunes instead of singing them. That'll warm up your throats nicely. Gary, toss me the rattle, would you?"
The ghost whisperer threw the tool of his trade towards Drew the Druid without question. Drew caught it, checked the street was safe to cross, then dashed down Ann Street in search of Filthy Henry. The inability to sing was not limited to those actively trying to do it for charity, it seemed. All around the street, there were people in pubs trying to get a festive sing-song going and failing completely. At this time of year, the regular tunes, ones that had been on the radio since the late 70s, would be belted out by many a drunken Dubliner, as the season of goodwill made everyone friendly. Drew the Druid found it very unnerving, but the glimpse of Filthy Henry walking around town was a good sign. It meant that help was nearby, even if sarcasm would follow close behind. Weaving between the revellers on the street, the Druid wound his way onto Grafton Street and immediately groaned. At the top of the street, a crowd had gathered. Cameras at the ready to take a picture of the charitable celebrities, stealing focus from the true coin collectors of Christmas Eve. On the very edge of the group, Drew caught another flash of the fairy detective's trench coat. He took a deep breath to prepare for the onslaught of insults that would soon follow and stepped forward.
Drew!
He turned and saw Shelley coming down the street towards him, waving her hand in the air.
Hello, Shelley, the Druid said, greeting her.
She was burdened with several bags, no doubt carrying presents and gifts, with rolls of wrapping paper sticking out from the top of one.
What are you wearing?
Shelley asked, frowning at his costume. Drew the Druid adjusted his stovepipe hat, ensuring his oversized necktie was suitably tucked out from his waistcoat. This was probably the first time Shelley had seen him out of his druidic robes. Not that Shelley or Filthy Henry ever truly respected the robes of his station, but there were still basic expectations one could have.
It's my caroling costume, he explained, dusting some snow from his shoulders. I wear it when my group sings at Christmas.
Oh,
Shelley said, surprised by this information.
I didn't know you did that. How lovely. Where are you singing?
Well, we're not right now, he said. We've a spot up at St. Anne's Church, but nobody can sing a note.
Is it first gig jitters? Shelley asked.
No, the Druid said, offended. We've been doing it years, but there's something magical afoot, stopping everyone singing.
This caught Shelley's attention. She stepped closer and put her bags down on the snowy street.
Are you sure?
Yep, he said with a nod. I've this.
Drew pulled out Gary's bone rattle and held it up for Shelley to see. For somebody who worked regularly in the fairy world, she seemed absolutely unimpressed and completely confused in equal parts while staring at the object. Eventually Shelley shrugged her shoulders.
Is this supposed to mean something?
It's a bone rattle, the Druid explained. One of the folks in my choir works as a ghost whisperer.
Ghost whisperer? Filthy says people that profess to do that are crooks and charlatans. Except when he needs to make a few euro, and then it's a valid thing to charge people for. So what does a bone rattle do?
The noise it makes is meant to irritate ghosts and spirits, so they leave an area and never return. But like most of the things you've learned in the fairy world, there's an element of truth to everything you read in the stories. Turns out that while the bone rattle doesn't really do anything to ghosts, it can help somebody magically attuned to see an invisible spirit.
Oh,
Shelley said, taking the rattle out of Drew's hands and looking at it closely.
Like cheap fairy vision.
The Druid had never actually thought about it like that before, but Shelley was spot on the money. It was just like cheap fairy vision. Just minus the ability to actually see for sure in the magical spectrum. However, knowing about the magical world and how the brain tried its best to ignore things it could not logically explain, the effects of the rattle on spirits did impart a sort of fairy vision for mortals. Shelley gave the rattle several shakes. Around them the snow swirled on a strong gust of wind that was moving in a different direction to the rest of the falling snow.
That's it, Drew the Druid said, pointing at the snow as it raced down the street. That's the spirit.
Ah,
Shelley said, watching the snow power float down the street.
Sorry, I didn't have my fairy vision on.
Drew grimaced at this announcement. One useful thing to solve the case of the missing musical notes would have been to identify the fairy or spirit that was involved. Typically, if you knew the sort of magical entity you were dealing with, it made the research stage of the problem solving a lot easier. Mainly because it meant you knew what book, or page in a specific book, you needed to read so that you could figure things out.
I thought you could see the fairy world all the time, the Druid said, pocketing the bone rattle in his oversized coat pocket.
No, we sort of turn it on and off mentally when we want to, Shelley said. I think if we walked around seeing the fairy world all the time, it would be overloading. Although that's only a guess. But I know Filthy definitely doesn't use it 24/7, so I just sort of followed his lead. Even as she said the word, Drew could tell that Shelley was questioning the wisdom of her statement. Nobody really followed the fairy detective's lead. They just tagged along because the chances of survival were better beside him than away from him.
I have to go, the druid said. I'm going to see if I can rattle this somewhere else and scare the spirit away.
Shelley collected her bags from the snowy ground. Good luck with that, she said. You know, the rattle might be something to do with frequency. If it causes the spirit to flee or appear, it's just a thought. Drew watched Shelley walk off into the Christmas Eve crowd and thought about what she had said. It was not the worst theory in the world, and right now, it was also the only working idea the druid had to go on. Plus, if you factored in that nobody could sing at the minute, the possibility that the spirit did not like the frequency of a human voice singing was also something to consider. The fairy folk generally did not like humanity to exist full stop. Merely tolerating people existing in the same way that humans just accepted that spiders were a thing in the world that would never go away. When a fairy or spirit from the magical side of things did cause pain for mortals, it usually boiled down to the fact that they either wanted to wipe humans off the face of Ireland, or simply remove an aspect of mortal life, such as singing at a frequency which caused pain. Now, how to test the theory out when nobody could actually sing was the real question.
It's magical, isn't it? Alex the alchemist asked as Drew rejoined their little group outside St. Anne's Church. That's why you ran off.
Sometimes the little group of non-magical misfits were more magically astute than one would expect. It was, most likely, down to the fact that they looked at Drew with a strange sort of reverence. Being the only member of the gang who had direct dealings with the magical world, even if there was no authentic way to prove that or not, elevated him above the rest of the choir in a way. Not a way that the druid particularly liked. Attention was never the sort of thing he actively sought out. But Drew did like that people looked up to him instead of looking down on him. Society would always look at those it did not understand, or who did not fit into the mould of acceptable, in harsh ways. Throw in the fact that such individuals also tended towards the druidic or Wiccan way of life, and it was just more rotten tomatoes in the basket of unfairness. For a brief moment, Drew considered lying to them, but the chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan deserved better than that. They deserved to know the truth, and if at all possible, sing some wonderful Christmas songs on the most magical night of the year.
It is, the druid confirmed, nodding his head. There's a spirit of some kind preventing us from singing.
Oh, Siobhan said, looking a little surprised. Is that where we're going with, is it?
Drew the druid had always wondered why she kept coming back to their little circle time after time, holding down a steady normal job and not looking at all like some unfit hermit who had simply strolled out of a forest. Siobhan was the only one of the choir that had never bought into the magical side of things. Chilly had once asked her directly why she liked hanging out with them, and the answer had involved something called LARPing and an interest in fantasy novels. In many ways, Siobhan was the anti-Shelley to Drew's fairy detective persona in this little setup. Whereas Shelley often delighted in learning new things about the magical world, which impacted the mortal one, Siobhan seemed to actively look for reasons to discredit any magical thinking in favour of cold, hard facts.
Yes, the druid said, slowly nodding his head. That's what we're going with. You can see it. Watch the falling snow and start to sing. Any song. Doesn't matter what.
With the smoothness of a group that has performed many times before, the choir lined up on the snow steps, clasped their hands in front of their stomachs, and began to sing Silent Night. They got the first note out before all musical abilities left their throats instantly. Above their heads, the snowflakes bellowed around on a wind not felt anywhere on the street.
See,
Drew shouted, pointing at the disturbance as it wove through the falling snow.
That's the spirit.
That's just the wind,
Siobhan countered, giving a dismissive shake of her head.
We've just lost our mojo is all. It's too cold. We never sing when it's snowing.
I dunno, Chilly piped up. If Drew thinks there's something mystical afoot, or afloat in this case, I think we'd best listen to him.
To be fair, he's never steered us wrong before, Alex added.
What? Last year when we sang on Grafton Street? Siobhan asked. We said we wouldn't mention the war this year,
all the male members of the group shouted.
Oh, sorry about that, Drew said, adjusting his hat and regaining composure. But look at this. Watch the snow round her when I do this.
Drew had pulled out Gary's bone rattle and gave it a few shakes. Just as before, there was a disturbance in a bush near them, the snow falling in a manner that was not natural. No doubt the magical energies of the spirit being out of their comfort zone.
Oh,
Siobhan said, frowning at the odd sight.
Try singing again,
Drew encouraged the group. Once more, they took up positions and began to sing Silent Night. This time, however, they managed to get three bars out before some invisible force burst out of the bush and flew through the air. It slammed into Drew, knocking him to the ground and sending the bone rattle spiralling from his hand. At the same time, the choir lost their ability to sing and just started to mumble the words. Everyone looked down at the forlorn druid as he made an overweight snow angel on the ground.
My rattle,
Gary said, pointing at the shattered pieces. It had hit a lamppost with force, the stick snapping and the skull popping wide open so that its rattling days were done.
Well, crap, Drew said.
Seated on the snow-covered steps, directly outside the church front door, alone and unhappy, in a costume that belonged on a Christmas card, Drew the Druid knew very well that he looked like the embodiment of a character from a Dickens classic. To make matters worse, the rest of the choir had all gone across the street and were now having some drinks in the warmth of a pub, looking over at the sad figure of Drew and waving him over to join them. But he could not muster up the willpower. Tonight, for the first time, Drew was realising that his place in the fairy world may have been accidental. That all the tales the chorus of extraordinary gentlemen and Siobhan had lapped up required a specific ingredient to happen. An ingredient in the form of Ireland's first and foremost fairy detective. Without Filthy Henry, Drew the Druid was a caricature of magical mortality. Unable to actually see the fairy world, devoid of real magical abilities beyond the ones he borrowed, and armed with what amounted to simple parlour tricks, Drew was just another average man. One who could do nothing to save Christmas when it needed saving the most. He hung his head and pulled the stovepipe hat forward so that the brim would hide his eyes in case tears started to fall. Around Drew, the sounds of the city could be heard. Traffic driving cautiously down the street. People enjoying meetups and parties with friends and co-workers. Nobody else seemed to mind that singing had completely left the population of Dublin. In fact, some small groups were making a game out of not being able to sing a single note, unaware that the spirit was behind it all. Maybe giving up was the better option. Sure, there would be no money collected for charity, but tonight was about more than that. It was a chance to hang out with some like-minded folk, and just because they could not sing did not mean the true meaning of Christmas could not be enjoyed. Somebody walked up the steps to Drew's left, their shoes crunching on the snow.
Well, don't you look like a Christmas card come to life? A familiar voice said.
Drew looked over and saw Filthy Henry lowering himself to the step so he could sit beside the druid. The fairy detective had a large cloth sack with him, which he tucked between his legs. He blew out some air from his mouth, a fine mist mingling with the falling snow, that looked over at Drew and smiled.
Give me a penny, and I'll take your thoughts for free, Filthy Henry said.
Couldn't even raise a penny, the druid replied. If you've come just to gloat, or rub it in my face that we always need the great fairy detective to come and save us, I'm just not in the mood.
Filthy Henry stuffed his hands into his trench coat pockets and stared across the street.
That's your gang over there, isn't it?
He asked, nodding in the direction of the pub.
Yeah, Drew answered. We tried our best to get some sort of singing going, but it just wasn't meant to be. Whatever this spirit is that's flying around the city tonight, it's hell bent on ruining caroling for everyone.
Filthy Henry drew in a deep breath through his nose and nodded along to what Drew had said.
Yeah, the fairy detective said. Shelley mentioned that she'd bumped into you, and you'd shown her something in the snow. Of course, I'm far too busy to look into it myself. I've bigger fairy fish to fry, you could say.
Drew sat upright and took his hat off, balancing it on his right knee.
Are you serious? He asked the fairy detective. Christmas is going to be ruined because of this thing, and you've got bigger fish to fry.
Filthy Henry did not look at the druid, his gaze firmly fixed on the rest of the choir in the pub across the street. He reached down, lifted the cloth sack and handed it over to Drew.
I think that lot look up to you, the fairy detective said. And sometimes, just sometimes, like once in a century or so, I'd like to do a good deed. Help balance out all the sarcastic karma I build up the rest of the time. You've got what you need in there.
With that, Filthy Henry stood up, dusted some of the snow off his suit, and looked down at the very confused druid.
Merry Christmas, you baldy ball bag, the fairy detective said, before he walked down the steps and off into the night.
Drew the druid opened the sack and looked at the contents inside, and smiled.
It's a Christmas miracle, he said.
Wait a minute,
Gary the Ghost Whisperer said as they lined up in front of St. Anne's Church once again.
You're telling me that was the actual Filthy Henry? The actual fairy detective?
All fireballs and magic and all, Alex chimed in.
Siobhan scoffed at them.
Come off it, she said. He was a cosplayer of an actual magical detective at best. There are much better ones at the comic book convention. Hell, you'd find a more believable fairy detective in the comic book stores at the weekend than that loon.
Drew the Druid gestured for them all to get into position, and more importantly, stop asking so many questions. He placed the cloth sack on the ground beside the collection bowl and smiled.
I figured it out, the druid said, lying with ease. The spirit that's ruining our ability to sing. It doesn't like specific frequencies.
Like the bone rattle,
Gary said, beaming with pride that he had figured something out.
I could be the fairy detective.
Well, you'd look better than whoever that was, Siobhan said.
Drew sighed and decided against ruining his good mood by defending Filthy Henry to a person who clearly did not want to believe in the fairy detective. Instead, he opted to hand out the gift which Filthy Henry had given. Reaching into the sack, Drew pulled out an ornately designed sleigh bell. The wooden handle had a leather strap, which a hand could easily slip through and use to prevent the bells being knocked out of a person's grip. 25 silver bells, arranged in rows of 5, ran up and down the handle. Each of the bells had a little Celtic triangle designed on them, a design that somehow caught the streetlight and gave the silver a subtle blue hue. A trick of the light that suggested there was more to the tinkling baubles than a mortal might expect. He handed each member of the choir one, taking the last and slipping it onto his right hand. The gang assembled, jangling like the L triangle, and drew in a deep breath collectively. Drew smiled up at each of them in turn, then slowly nodded his head.
We've got this, the druid said. As you sing, give the bells a little swing. Nothing too crazy, but when you see me do a flourish, repeat it. We'll beat this wayward spirit into submission.
Everyone nodded along enthusiastically, with Siobhan giving a slightly less enthusiastic nod.
Jingle bells, Drew said in a deep voice, counting down with his fingers.
As one, the choir began to sing the song adored by children and co-opted into a dirty version involving a caped crusader and urinating on the walls. With the instinct that comes from practice, the chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan sang like angels and shook their bells in rhythm, just enough to add to the song and not enough to drown out the words or distract from the performance. Drew the Druid conducted them with gentle gestures of his hands, shaking his own bells as he went. He glanced above their heads at the falling snow and tracked the path of the spirit as it swirled above them. This had been the longest they had sung all night, and the spirit was clearly eager to swoop down and steal the notes right out of their heads. Then Drew heard and saw what was preventing the spirit from ruining the nighttime singing. Each time it tried to swoop down, happened to coincide with the jingle of the bells. And just on the edge of normal vision, in a window no longer than a blink of an eye, there was a flash of light that reflected off the falling snowflakes. It appeared so briefly that Drew barely had time to see it was slightly curved, like a dome over the choir. Some people walking along the street stopped to listen and even donated to the bucket. In an age of tap-to-pay apps on phones, having money to hand for donations was a minor Christmas miracle in itself. Drew the Druid shook his bells slightly out of sync with the song and focused his hearing on it, catching the little tinkle as it echoed out from the silver. A tinkle that, ever so faintly, sounded like it bounced around half a second longer than it should.
"Frequency," the Druid said to himself. "The bells are making noises like the bone rattle. Painful to the spirit, but much more of it."
By now, a large crowd had gathered. Last-minute shoppers, partygoers, people wearing Santa hats, and clearly six sheets to the wind. They had come from near and around the corner to listen to the only musical act in the city that night. Some even joining in, swaying back and forth in time to the song. The choir kept going, looping around the part involving dashing through the snow, smiles plastered on their faces at the audience they had. Above the singing troupe, Drew could see the spirit getting more and more agitated with each failed attempt at stopping the festive fun. Around them the snow fell in perfect, delightful patterns, while above their heads the flakes swirled around like an angry blizzard. Protection was fine, but Drew the Druid needed an exit strategy. Something that would send the spirit packing. He thought about how Filthy Henry usually addressed these sorts of issues, and an idea popped into his head.
"Right, everyone," he said to the choir group. "We're going to finish on a high. So, in the last verse, really jangle the bells at the end. We want a big flourish."
The group nodded, singing their hearts out and oblivious to the flashes of white light above their heads. A number of people had started taking pictures of the performance on their phones, the flashes masking the magical pulses of light nicely.
"Now, all you wonderful patrons of the arts," Drew shouted to the group, "join us on the last go-round."
A cheer rose up from the assembled masses. As one, in near-perfect unison, their voices rose up. As everyone sang the last line, it was at worst a cacophony, and at best, good-natured revelry. On a one-horse open sleigh had seldom been imbued with such rosy-cheeked merriment. The chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan brought their arms up over their heads and shook the bells with extra vigour. The combined voices, jangling bells, and general feeling of goodwill to everyone in the immediate area melded into a perfect magical moment. A pulse of blue light formed at the base of the church steps and raced outwards through the air, washing over the crowd and upwards at a rapid pace. The crowd cheered and clapped, calling for an encore. Drew looked up and saw a faint wisp of energy drift up into the night sky, the spirit no longer potent enough to keep itself together. As the choir began another song, Drew turned around and smiled with pride at the size of the crowd they had drawn in. It was at least four times the size of the one on Grafton Street last year. Across the street, Drew the Druid saw two figures standing on the edge of the pavement, watching them. Filthy Henry and Shelley grinned at the Druid, the fairy detective clapping, like he had just seen an amazing opera performance.
"Well, Merry Christmas to all," Drew said to himself. "And to all, a good night."
Filthy Henry Case Files, The Chorus of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Siobhan, is an original story by Derek Power and Niall Milton. Other works by Derek Power are available to buy right now on Amazon Kindle.
And while you're there, why not send us a like or subscribe to the podcast? Or even better, share it with one of your friends. We'd really appreciate it.
And finally, it doesn't matter who you are, celebrity or not, getting out there at Christmas and doing something special for charity is a really noble thing.
Happy Christmas, everybody.